Thank you for listening to Scandinavian Crimes Podcast. Be sure to check out the episode links and be part of our other social media platforms where you can leave a topic suggestion or even share some of your insights regarding the subject matter of the episode. We will always do our best to provide a well-researched episode, but sometimes due to limited access to information and translation issues, some information can be lost. It is therefore good to do your own research and get a deeper understanding of a case of your own interest. So with that all said, let us start today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Scandinavian Crimes. My name is Devante, and say hello to my lovely co-host, Delilah.
Hi.
And on this podcast, we will cover famous Scandinavian criminals who made their mark throughout Scandinavian history. So this story is going to be very gruesome, but it's a very big tragedy. So the story goes, on April 7th, 1991, a gruesome tragedy took place on the Scandinavian Star, a ferry that operated between Norway and Denmark. What started as a typical overnight voyage turned into a nightmare that would forever change the lives of the passengers and the crew on board. The tragedy raised numerous questions and controversies regarding the safety regulations and emergency response procedures of the Scandinavian Star, and highlighted issues such as inadequate fire safety measures, insufficient crew training, and questionable enforcement of safety standards in the maritime industry. One thing, though, that is still unknown till this very day is how many arsonists were actually involved in this fire. So go grab your snacks, grab your tea and/or coffee, and let's get into the story of the Scandinavian Star arson. On the evening of April 7th, 1990, the Scandinavian Star set sail from Oslo, Norway, with over 500 passengers and crew members on board. Little did they know, their journey would be far from routine. Shortly after departure, a small fire broke out in a hallway, but it was quickly extinguished and the ship continued on its way. However, a few hours later, in the early hours of April 8th, another fire broke out on board the ferry, this time in a cabin. The fire quickly spread and the passengers and crew members scrambled to escape the burning ship. Chaos and panic erupted as smoke filled the halls and flames engulfed the cabins. Despite the efforts of the crew, the fire proved too difficult to control and it continued to spread rapidly throughout the vessel. The ship's safety equipment, such as fire alarms and sprinkler systems, all failed to function properly, leaving passengers and crew members without warning or protection. The situation was made worse by the fact that the Scandinavian Star lacked an adequate number of lifeboats. Many passengers were forced to jump overboard into the frigid waters of the North Sea to avoid being consumed by the flames. By the time the rescue crew arrived, the fire had claimed 159 lives, and many others were indeed injured. The tragedy shocked Scandinavia and the rest of the world, and an investigation was launched to determine the cause of the fire. The investigation uncovered shocking details about the Scandinavian Star's safety procedures and equipment. It was discovered that the ship lacked proper safety equipment and training for the crew, and that the ferry had a history of several safety violations. Furthermore, evidence suggested that the fire may have been started deliberately by one or more individuals on board the vessel. Despite an extensive investigation, no one was ever convicted of a crime. Contrary to what the authorities believe, several fire experts believe that there were at least four fires that night that were not just propagating through the ship, but rather individual fires started at different times. The fire experts point out that among the evidence to suggest this, it was in fact the same section of the ship burned twice, and that the Swedish firefighters maintained that all fires were put out while the ship was being towed to Leskil. But still, an enormous fire broke out in a completely different area of the ship 5 hours after the ship docked. Now, at this point in the story, I know some of you probably are going to be wondering if there was even a potential suspect, and unfortunately, there was no real official suspect because, you know, during the fire, it was, and I guess, believed that if they potentially were a suspect, they might have passed in the fire. But based on some information, there seems to have been an alleged suspect, and his name was Erik Mork Andersen. Now, there was no official evidence to suggest that Erik Mork Andersen started any of these fires, and Andersen himself perished during the second fire. These suspicions arose due to there being some sort of history regarding him setting fire some years back, so I'll kind of dive into some details regarding the suspicions and the rest of the story. Erik Andersen was previously convicted of a total of five fires. The first was in 1974 when he spent the night in an apartment he just moved out of and stomped a cigarette butt into paper on the floor. He was convicted of negligent arson. He also was suggested to be an arson 3 years later when he left a pair of overalls over a stove that was switched on. In 1978, he set fire to a hotel in Esbjergby by rolling out paper in the corridor. Afterward, he went to sleep in the same hotel. In 1982 and 1983, he set fire to buildings in Grena and went to sleep in the same building. In four previous fires, he had been drinking alcohol in hours before lighting the fire. Three of the times he had argued with or been rejected by women just before the fires. According to the police, this also happened that evening. That's part of the reason why that they later suspect him of being an arson and suspected that he potentially was someone who started the fires on several different occasions. Now, several fire experts and Danish maritime authorities' main investigator, Flemming Thu Jensen, do not believe the fires were the work of some random pyromaniac. They believe they were all started by professionals who knew what they were doing and knew the ship's layout very well. When the second fire was started, two fire doors had been blocked to prevent them from closing, one with a mattress and one with a concrete block only accessible to the ship's crew. Keeping these fire doors open ensured quick fire propagation because it ensured airflow from the car deck beneath the fire, thereby ensuring a wood stove effect. And the same fire was started in the position of the ship that allowed it to ventilate and carry to other floors and the opposite side of the ship. Now, this is just my little two cents real quick before I get to the next part, but that's kind of the reason why this Erik Andersen wasn't really, I guess, officially kind of charged, or even though he perished already in the fire. This is the reason why he wasn't really officially suspected, even though people rumored and people believed it was him, because based on some other experts, they believe the fires were done by someone far more professional. And what we've seen from him previously was he would just get drunk and start fires. So that's one thing I just wanted to say before I get to the next part, just so there's some sort of clarity that the previous part was just a little bit of rumor slash, you know, just misinformation and just, you know, people looking for someone to blame based on his background. Now, according to several Swedish firefighters, the salvage workers, three unknown men, emerged from the ship during the night at Lysekil Harbor and quickly disappeared before the firefighters could alert the police. Shortly thereafter, an enormous fire broke out in the ship's front restaurant area. This fire quickly arose to temperatures so high that the firefighters were unable to put out the fire for another 12 hours. According to the fire brigade, there had been no previous fires anywhere near the restaurant. The Scandinavian Star tragedy remains one of the deadliest peacetime maritime disasters in modern history and serves as a reminder of the importance of not only proper safety procedures, but also having proper equipment on board all vessels at all times. Now, this section I want you to take with a grain of salt, because this is not really official. This is just some information I pulled up. And just for you guys, I want to present this to you so that way you can kind of, you know, hear it. But remember, take it with a grain of salt. Do not take this as a fact. According to both Danish and Norwegian maritime authorities, none of them were informed in any way about the Scandinavian Star, and therefore no inspection was conducted by any of them prior to April 7th. According to Danish Maritime Authority, the ship was registered in Nassau, Bahamas, and therefore only obliged to adhere to the much more lenient Bahamian safe regulations. However, in documentary, former secretary and chairman of Danish Association of Sailors, Henrik Berlau, alleged that the Danish maritime authorities knew that the Scandinavian Star was not ready to transport passengers before the ship was assigned to its route during the first week of April 1990. However, the maritime authorities opted to keep quiet about this after the disaster because it might have rendered the state of Denmark liable for damage. Berlau states that his source is the former management of the maritime authorities and that the maritime authorities postponed their statutory inspection by 2 weeks. The ship burned before the inspection was scheduled. The maritime authorities had since commented on Berlau's information, stating that they have found no archival evidence to suggest that any employee had seen the ship or been in its presence. So, after hearing this entire story, let me give, once again, kind of just my opinion about this. So, I don't personally like how they accuse the person, even though he did have a history of being an arson. You know, there seems to be plenty of evidence to suggest that this was a very organized movement between the fires and how it was propagated and how it's moving through the ship and how someone knew what they was doing. Now, one of the things that I've always hated about, you know, any kind of investigation is they make assumptions about people who have records. Now, am I saying it's initially wrong to think that or even add them to the list of suspects? Not necessarily. But it's the fact that when the public gets a hold of it, their mind is made up. And I feel like someone probably leaked this and this information was not properly kept, you know, kind of sealed tightly during this investigation. Because of the fact there's a whole family that was associated with Anderson who they kind of have to deal with the rumors of this situation because he died after the second fire. And then we found out that two more fires happened even after the fact of him dying. So it's very frustrating, you know, to see that, you know, they just kind of took this one piece of information, ran with it, and then went public with it, it seems, and then come to find out this is a more organized movement. Second, I also want to talk about the part where I said take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot of he said, she said about the regulations and about what the ship was actually equipped with and whether or not it was inspected to be properly fitted or, you know, making sure that it was properly fitted with all the proper protocols and procedures to make sure the ship was as safe as possible. So this is what I mean by how back in the day there was a lot of cutting corners, you know, just for the sake of whether it be money or political reasons or anything. It'd just be anything. There was a lot of cutting corners. And this is a prime example of how potentially they cut corners with all this he said, she said, because they could have done their due diligence. Even if they did, the ship was built in, the Bahamas. They still could have did their due diligence and inspected the ship anyway, just for safety measures. But they did not, because then they just assume. Everyone makes assumptions, and unfortunately, this happens over and over and over again. Now, for my final piece of information before I let you talk and kind of tell me your piece. One of the things I get very, that at least when it comes to this case specifically, is I do believe this is a very organized way of setting fires. It was very intentional. It was precise. And much to what the evidence suggested, the fire was propagated in a way that was allowed to grow and kill 159 people, maximum effort. So I think whoever they saw in that fire, who set the fires, they said two people emerged from the fires and walked out. This is someone who might have potentially been a budding serial arsonist or someone. Well, serial arsonist, basically someone who's a serial killer, but they just use fire as a means to do it. So I think this is someone who potentially, or people who potentially were, you know, arsonists during that time. And they got away with it because no one was charged with it. Till this day, this is like an unsolved case. 159 people died. That's a really high body count, and it's unsolved. No evidence. The ship actually, I think, got rebuilt after the fact, and then still nothing. So it's just so crazy how there was no real investigation. A lot of he said, she said about the regulations. People are worried about blame when it came to, I think, according to the Danish maritime authorities and, you know, just in general, the countries who were kind of tied to the ship. They just did not want to accept blame for what happened, about regulations, about avoiding regulations, about not doing what they were supposed to do. It's just a whole mess. And they could have gotten so much farther if they just simply did their jobs and investigated. But I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Go ahead, Delilah. Please tell me what is on your mind about this, because you already know, you already can tell I'm frustrated.
I'm not gonna lie, but this feels like Titanic, but with fire, in a way. But usually, what I think happened is like nobody would think that a fire would happen, and especially so rapidly. With a boat surrounded by water, even though they were kind of in a harbor when the fire started, you know, spreading. I guess it's like this mentality of if it hasn't happened yet, then everything's going to be fine until it happens. And then we have to like learn from it and fix it, which is like, well, it's already too late and people have died. And I feel like this whole thing applies to literally anything where it's like, oh, this happened. Maybe we should fix it. So, and we learn from it. But it's also like, okay, it's too late. Already 159 people have died. And also this boat had already, you know, a history of safety violations. So that's not really good. And also not having enough live boats is not really good either. So I just feel like, you know, for some reason, I have a feeling that back in the days, people were so chill and like, oh, you know, let's just do it. Let's have fun until it happens and then realize that, oh, this is not good, you know. Either way, I want to talk about a little bit of the suspects as well. It's too many variables. We don't really, like, it's hard to find, like, evidence as such, especially in an arson, like in a fire. But at least we had a little bit of history from one of them, which was Eric Anderson. Even though there were no evidence, like, against him that he had done it, he had five arsons, and it was, I just felt like that was crazy. Just, I don't know. It's the first time, even though it was an accident with the cigar or whatever he had, it's still like, I don't know. I was surprised by the amount of arson he was involved with. But I don't know if there is other people, like, I don't know if people like to start fires. Even though he was drunk most of the time, it's still like five. And luckily, or hopefully, there were not many people involved in those as well. But based on the evidence, professionals think it was a group of 3 to 4 people, I guess, which I think is more, it sounds more accurate, because it was like 4 fires, 4 different places, and it seems to be the work of professionals. Like, especially how they barricaded the door and such. And I don't think that Eric would have done that. It just feels like he just do it the, like, however he feels like, without thinking especially that much about it. If we had a motive, it would be a lot easier, I guess, to just determine who it could be. Like, were they any rich people or politicians? I can't speak. Like, were there any rich people or politicians on the boat? Maybe, you know, there was some assassination attempt. But I feel like starting a fire is just very, you know, a lot. But maybe there were a lot of people there that were important. Maybe there was some drug trafficking going on and something happened. I don't know. I mean, based on this, just the safety violations, it would surprise me if the boat or the people involved with it would also have other violations as well. But that's my take on it. You know, it's a very unfortunate event. I'm glad that we somehow, or the people, were able to learn from it and actually have proper fire safety measures, but also have a better safety measure for, in general, for boats and traveling with boat.
Yeah, there wasn't like a lot of like information regarding the investigation itself. There was no suggestion that there was any lead up in terms of any motivations. It just seemingly, well, it seemed random. Like, this is just something that they decided to do, whoever the arsonists were on this particular boat. And I kind of
do
agree.
Do you think it's random, though? Like, based on how the fire was started and stuff.
I mean, I guess when I say random, I'm referring to, like, it was a random event.
Attempt, you mean?
Yeah, okay. Like, the attempt itself is random, but even though it seemed they like it was very intentional, it was very intentional, but it just, it's random to us because there's no reason for it to have happened. And there was no motivation that we know of outside of whoever did it. They know their motivations because it was a lot more organized than Anderson's, you know, history, where he did things drunkenly out of, you know, being a mistake or out of rage or whatever the case may be, I didn't think it was him in this case, because like they mentioned, just the evidence kind of suggested the fires were propagated very specifically, like I mentioned already, just in a certain way that they were well fed oxygen to expand and grow. And then even when they put out two of the fires, you know, a couple more fires were ignited. So someone kept the fires going, and it was very intentional. And something else is going on that we just don't have any knowledge of, or at least in terms of their motivations or the reasoning why. And even till this day, they're technically still free. I don't know if they're alive still, you know, who knows, but, you know, it's a case that's unsolved. You know, no one was officially charged. 159 people were killed.
And then, like, those three, four shady people walked away and never to be seen after the incident.
Never to be seen again. See them emerge from a fire.
That's why I feel like it's professionals who just, like, started it for some reason that we don't know.
Yeah. And I don't think we'll ever really find out. You know, that was in the 1990s. And we're already in 2023. That was 30 years ago. It's still pretty recent, though.
Yeah.
It is in terms of history, you know, but in general, it's been 30 years. And even if we assume that the arsonists were at least in their 20s, that would make them at least in their 50s or 60s or something like that. Yeah. It's just the chances of us finding out is slim to none, especially with evidence burning, especially with it being on top of water. You know, once evidence burns, it sinks after that.
But so, also it being like on the international waters, and it seemed like the country who was supposed to be involved didn't seem like they really wanted to investigate. In a lot of
he said, she said about protocol and how things were made. And then even after they did their initial investigation, the ship was salvaged and technically rebuilt and renamed. So it's like they kind of just, it happened and then it got swept under the rug. And then it's as if like it never happened. Like, we know it happened because, you know, obviously it was recorded history, but just the event itself was kind of just swept under the rug. Nobody wants to take responsibility for the failed regulations and, you know, all that stuff in itself, let alone the people who set the fires. And it was just a lot of mistakes on top of bad intentions, which led to this outcome of 159 deaths, which is still unsolved, unaccounted for, and just, you know, a tragedy in history due to lack of accountability and just simply, you know, negligent intentions. So that's the sucky part about it. You know, it's tragic, but we'll never really know what happened. And we can do is speculate. That's all we can do. And there's not really much to speculate on. One thing that seems to be sure, that they seem to be sure of, like I mentioned, was that the fire just seemed more organized than Anderson's motive or his way of doing it. So chances are he didn't do it. He was just, you know, who they wanted to blame just because of his history. But I'm pretty sure it was a very organized, and it was multiple people involved.
Because it was the police who thought it might have been him, right?
Yeah.
But the fire people.
Like the fire marshals and the arson investigators. Like, yeah. They thought it was too organized for to fit his profile. So, but the police made it public, and then I believe he had a wife or a mom or some, he had, you know, next of kin who were dealing with those rumors, and it really devastated all that. I didn't get into any of those details, but overall rumors are not great, especially when they're unsubstantiated. And in this case, that was something that did happen, unfortunately. But I don't know. Like I said, it's unsolved. What do you guys think about this fire? Do you feel like this is something that's super organized? Like, there was a reason why they did or created this fire? Do you feel like there was multiple people? Or do you feel maybe that Anderson was responsible and he just so happened to die before he can see what his creation turned out to be in terms of the death of 159 people? Let us know, because, like I said, it's unsolved. There's technically endless possibilities until we get a definitive answer. So let us know, whether it be in the, you know, the comment section of, you know, the review section of the podcast or social medias. Messenger is a preference because we get to talk to you guys immediately, or Instagram, all that stuff. Let us know what you think. You know, that's why I like episodes like this, where it's kind of open ended. There's no absolute answer. And it kind of leaves a little bit of mystery out there. It kind of leaves a little bit of food for thought. So just let us know what you think. And let's see. What are we going to do for food?
I want soup.
That's pretty simple. Yeah, you know, I was talking about some top ramen soup today with my sister. Yeah, that's like a little bit of vibe.
Oh, you want ramen? Okay, that's fancy. I was just thinking about like plain chicken soup or like veggie soup or something.
Well, you know, over here, you know, we got the, yeah, the top ramen packet soups where, you know, it's just, it's ramen, sure, but, you know, it's still mostly soup. Chicken soup sounds good, or the Chicorina with the, you know, I'm pretty sure I don't have that over there. I forget the name of the brand, but yeah, soup sounds like a good vibe today. Good vibe. Dip some saltine crackers in the soup. Take a bite out of it and some nice tea. That sounds like a good old vibe. Then just cuddle under the covers with some nice cool breeze flowing through the window while you're eating the soup and the tea. Yeah, that sounds like a vibe.
Oh, wow. You're creating a scene here. That's cool.
Because, you know, my mind just went there. I was just consumed by the idea of, you know, soup. I remember this one time it was snowing and it was such a vibe to be in my bed. I had ordered Domino's pizza. I sat in my bed. I binge watched something. And I was in my bed just eating. I don't even remember what I was watching. I was just binge watching something, and it was a thin crust pizza, and I was just dogging that pizza, and I was happy, like just pure happiness being in bed. Just
wait, with soup?
No, it was a pizza.
Pizza, you know, and soup.
Yeah, okay, okay. It was a pizza, and I had made some soup, but I had like dipped the crust in the soup, and I was like, "Yo, this is just perfection."
Oh, that must be crazy good.
Perfection. Just laying in bed too. It was a snowstorm, so it was snowing really bad when that happened. I was like 2018. Oh my gosh, it was just everything. I just, oh, that was it.
That sounds cool though.
It was great. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and thank you, you know, for listening and sticking around, and be sure to tell your friends and family. And also, just to let you guys know, like I said, follow us on Twitch and all that stuff. It'll be in our link tree, so that way you can go follow us on that platform, because on season 2 we're going to be a lot more interactive with you guys. And also be aware that next month will be the end of season 1, and we'll take a little small summer break. And then be back in September to give you season 2, you know, bigger, better, more gorgeous. So
nice.
Be ready for that. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.
Bye.